Sydney and LA for Oceanic Flight 815. Until... now, lost on a mysterious island, the survivors have more to fear than survival itself.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
You've killed us all.
Nothing is real!
Namaste, thank you, and good luck.
I think your friends just blew themselves up, Roland.
I just saved us all.
I've got to go, and you've got to get as far away from here as possible.
Go where? Stop! I'm gonna blow the damn tongue.
Who are you people?
We're the good guys, Michael.
You push the button. That's an order.
All we really need to survive is one person who truly loves us.
Miss Whitmore, I think we found it.
This is the Lost Initiative from Sky One.
Hello, I'm Ian Lee, and this is the Lost Initiative, the official download show for UK fans of Lost. Now, we've just watched episode 12 and have given our brains a chance to process everything about the list, American football playing Jack, and whether we prefer Emo Claire to Island Claire. And we're now ready to provide you with the definitive guide to Par Avion. We want to hear from you too, so you can email us at lost@sky1.co.uk.
The Lost Initiative.
I'm joined, I don't even know why I say this, you're here every week, it's Paul Terry from Lost Magazine.
Hello.
Yes, and Grumpy Tom.
I like Grumpy Tom.
Are you in a grumpy mood this week? Because the last 3 weeks have been hell.
No, well, yeah, I'm actually, this episode's been good.
So. It's a good episode, yeah, isn't it? I think last week's was good, you weren't so keen on, but this, everyone surely must love this, won't they?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Paul, you excited by it?
Oh, amazing.
I hadn't gone yes for a long time.
Yes.
There was a lot of us sitting forward in our seats, yeah, and going, get in there!
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive straight in there. It's a Claire flashback this week, and we get a final confirmation that Christian Shepherd, Jack's dad, is also her dad.
Look, we had a fling. I was back in Los Angeles, and she told me that she was pregnant, that she was going to have the baby. Have you?
You didn't want to see me?
No, I came out a bunch of times when you were little. I stayed over, gave you toys, I sang to you.
Why'd you stop coming?
Because your aunt hates me. And your mother didn't like the fact that I had another family.
Stunning information, but we knew this already, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, say stunning, but we already knew it was happening. Bit of an anticlimax.
Well, there were two things that gave it away. The first thing was in series 2, I think it was, where Christian, yeah, Shepherd goes back to Australia with Anna Lucia,
yeah,
and knocks on the door, and someone says, no, you can't come in, you can't see her. So who would have that been opening the door then? That would have been the aunt, I guess.
It must have been Aunt Lindsay, or maybe Aunt Lindsay's daughter or something.
Didn't
like
we guess that?
Yeah.
I think we might have guessed that.
We guessed that was...
in a previous podcast.
That was what it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But we still weren't sure.
No, there was
and
no
And then final confirmation was given when that Muppet, Matthew Fox, blabbed it at a press conference, yeah, late last year.
Ruined it for everyone.
I don't want to keep saying it. I was there.
You were there, weren't you?
I was there.
When were you there? When you interviewed Matthew Fox?
When I interviewed, yeah, Matthew Fox. But then there was a press conference-y bit where a star would sit there at a time,
right,
and there'd be 20, it was very funny, there'd be 20 journalists from around the world, all with different degrees of capability of speaking English, and they would ask questions, and one of them said, Matthew, how do you feel about the fact that you and Claire are brother and sister? But we didn't know at this stage it was going to happen.
How did he know?
Well, he answered the question, went, yeah, well, you know, it's going to be an exciting storyline, and I'm you know, I'm looking forward
to
playing
actually,
that.
So actually the journalist was really crafty.
Yeah.
Sort of led him into a trap very quickly.
I think through
it.
Well, I don't think it was crafty, I think it's through inability to speak properly English.
Right.
But Matthew got
So the guy mixed up his words. Matthew thought it was something else.
I think so, yeah.
And went,
that would be even more genius.
Yeah.
That would.
And came out and said, yeah, we're brother and sister. So we knew, but there may be people listening to this who were unaware that was going to be the outcome.
Yeah, they might not.
We do mention it pretty much every week, so.
That's true. Bit of a coincidence, isn't it, that both of his children, I say both, two of his children.
That's a very good point.
Who knows? Who knows where his seed has gone? Were on flight 815.
Yeah. Mm. And we, you know, a lot of fans think that John Terry, that Christian Shepherd is actually intrinsically connected to Hanzo. And this is, I think, more evidence, you know?
Yeah, I've not really made the connection between Hanzo and Jack.
Well, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of cash, isn't he?
So, well, he's
well Bill Gates has got a lot of money. He's not director of Hanzo.
I thought about that.
Do you know what? Because Bill Gates is real. I don't want to ruin it for you, Tom. They're fictional. It's not a documentary series. It's not Castaway.
It'd be good if it was, though.
Thank God it is.
Based on a true story. Now, he makes a point of saying to Claire, I sang to you. His hair was looking good, wasn't he? He's looking like a young George Martin.
I think John Terry's amazing. Amazing actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor, isn't he?
Now, I'm guessing that he would have sang Catch a Falling Star, because that's the song that Claire wanted sung to her baby by the adoptive parents.
Yeah, I think that would have been cool if they put that in the episode. If he'd, I don't know, a little moment, a little memory moment.
And another thing that connect this to the others, him to the others, or Hanzo or whatever, is that this is the song that was playing on the Oceanic mobile.
Oh yeah.
In maternity
leave. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they know all that, the others know everything about all the people on the flight, it seems. Not only when Mikhail starts talking about, they probably talk about that later, but yeah, they kind of know, must know that Claire's dad sung.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty cool, because that means they're all looking at the pair of them or individually and thinking,
how possible is it, do you think, that Christian Shepherd is alive and well and on the island somewhere?
Incredibly possible. Absolutely one of the most possible things.
What if he's Jacob?
How would he?
No, we already know Jacob.
Oh, we'll
come to that later. We'll get to the Jacob thing in a second, because Jacob is kind of like the leader, the ultimate leader, we think.
He's a magnificent man.
He's a very magnificent man. He stands magnificent. But that would mean that the island has... we know the island has healing powers. Has it got the powers to regenerate? Is everyone who's dead going to come back?
Maybe they're already back.
That would be
Echo
insane.
Comes back.
Yeah, no, you keep saying this.
I keep saying it. Because, again, I don't know... When I was in LA...
He
said, oh, we've just... Basically, he implied that in this series... this is Echo, Adewale. In this series, we would find out and see a lot more about his spiritual side and how spiritual the island is.
See, I want you to be right, because...
He's coming back.
Echo's amazing.
I will bet money that Echo will be back in this series, alive and well. Now, back to business. In the last flashback scene, Claire says sorry to her mum for wishing her dead.
So sorry for all the awful things I said to you in the car. That I hated you. And that I wished you weren't my mother, and I wished you were dead. It's all my fault. The accident and everything. I'm so sorry, Mum.
I thought Claire was really good in this. I'm not really a fan of Claire.
I thought Emily DeRoven was amazing. That scene when she breaks down with her mum in the hospital was a bit of a choker.
Can
a bit
I
lump in throat
say,
moment.
To make this a little bit lads-ish, I thought she was quite saucy as well.
I know, I've got a...
She's got beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful what?
Eyes.
Yes.
With the black hair as well, it really...
Yeah, she looked good as a goth.
Emo goth.
All gothed up.
I'm a bit of a rock chick fan, so that was working for me.
Has she got powers?
Yeah, I think Claire does have some. I think there's... It can't be an accident that, you know, Desmond and Claire, there seems to be some connection.
What powers?
As well.
She hasn't shown any powers. What powers are you talking about?
She wished her mum dead, and then her mum was dead.
Oh, that's rubbish, though.
I'd like to see who was driving that truck.
Well, maybe similar people involved in taking out Juliet's husband. Yeah. You know, the driving the truck and just... No, the bus and just...
I think that's going to be... it's going to be something like Sawyer or something. I think we'll see it later.
The copper
Sawyer
was very rude.
I didn't like the copper. No, he was mean.
I thought that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Anyway, elsewhere on the island, Said, Locke, Kate, Mikhail and Danielle are looking for the barracks, and Mikhail makes a few revelations along the way. Have a listen to this.
I will try to make this as simple as I can. You are not on the list because you are flawed. Because you are angry. And weak. And frightened.
The more I learn about your people, the more I suspect you're not as omniscient as you'd have us believe. Don't speak to us as if you know us.
Of course I don't know you, Said Jarrah. How could I? And you, Kate Austin, are a complete stranger to me. But you, John Locke, you I might have a fleeting memory of. But I must be confused, because the John Locke I know was
Look at this.
This was one of the great moments. Mikhail says, "But you, John Locke, I have a fleeting memory of you. I must be confused because the John Locke I knew was para..."
That was a definite...
Paralysed, paratrooper, paradoxical.
I'm paralysed.
Paralysed, must be. But how would he know him, man?
They know everything. And Russo...
Oh, yes. Great theory, Tom.
Blatantly, another. She goes,
look at this.
Quiet.
Look at this beautiful shrubbery. It looks like a small giraffe.
This is... boys, calm down. And this is... We're very excited, you can tell, if you're listening to this. Yeah. For the first time in a few weeks, we're properly excited by this. This is the theory that you've started, Tom, and do you know what? For the first time ever, I'm on your side.
Get in.
That Danielle is an other and is potentially quite high up in the ranks. Because she interrupted Mikhail before he revealed
I think Mikhail was saying a lot more than he was supposed to. She's always going, "Oh yeah, everything he's going to say is going to be a lie." Maybe it isn't. Maybe, as we kind of found out, that he was actually telling the truth there and said that, you know, "I remember you. You used to be power."
I'm beginning to think that she could be another. She definitely interrupted, and it wasn't a... "Oh, look what I found." It was kind of a shut up.
Shut up, Mikhail. You give the game away.
I think, you know, that fan last week was saying maybe she's like a sleeper agent. Like, she doesn't remember being another or doesn't know she's...
Nah, rubbish. Rubbish.
I mean, it would be a pretty long...
She's another.
Hustle, wouldn't it, from season one?
The more I think that she does know about it.
Yeah,
though,
Ben, she just somehow... Oh, yeah, this is someone you might want to take a look at. Gets Ben, gives them to the others.
Unless
we go back to the implanted memories theory, and the whole thing about the ship and the team and the crew, that's an implanted memory.
Why does it have to be in it? Why does it have to be implanted? It's just she's lying. That's what it is.
They are good at lying. You know, when Ben was pretending to be Henry Gale, Henry Gale.
Yeah.
When are we going to find out about Henry Gale? Do you remember him?
Let's see a flashback for no reason, isn't it?
Honestly, where he buried his wife and stuff, I'm sure we'll get that.
Yeah.
He knows everyone's name as well, Mikhail.
They all
knows
do.
Their surnames.
I'm a little bit freaked. Yeah, I'm a little bit freaked by that.
How could he know John? There are ways about this. Maybe Mikhail met John back in the real world.
Well, it's the same way that they know all the stuff about Jack. She comes in, Thingy comes in with the big case file on
Jack. Oh, yeah, but how have they got a case file on every single person on the flight?
Preparation.
Well, see, in the sense the flight was brought to the island, was all planned.
Yeah, it must have been.
What is the list? The list is mentioned as well.
And only the people on the list can comprehend what the island does.
And this is nothing to do with the list of, way back with the...
It must be.
But the original list of people to bring to Ben. It's not that list. It is a completely different conversation point, isn't it?
Is it the Jacobs list?
Well, he says, "You weren't on the list." And then they were on Miss Clue's list.
He looks at everyone.
Yeah, and then he looks at John and then starts to do his...
He does John last, though.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool.
But why would Kate not be capable of understanding? Is that...
Because she's angry or whatever.
But is it implied that the people that are on the list are somehow spiritually higher?
Yeah, I think there's
a higher developed level.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a consciousness which they can maybe tap into the island of some kind.
Wasn't it fantastic when there's blood spurting out of his ears? Yeah. Proper scandalous.
What did he say? Didn't he say something like, "Thank you"?
Yeah, he did.
He was pleased that, because he wanted to be shot in the first place, last episode.
Well, this is when they reach the outskirts of the barracks, and there's that just a superb fence.
Yeah.
Doesn't that look perfect?
It's like Jurassic Park. Have you watched it yet?
I've not seen Jurassic Park. And do you know what? I'm never going to. Dinosaurs, Sam Neill, no thanks. Neither of those things appeal to me. But they get to this sonic fence, and Locke kills Mikhail by pushing him through.
And then we started thinking, that Locke was another as well, because he started acting really strangely.
Yeah, Syed is
you had a really good theory about it, didn't you?
Did I?
Yeah, the Jacob theory.
Oh, yeah, this was my theory?
Yeah, I think you
I'll lay claim to this theory, then, that Locke is Jacob. Now, we've heard Jacob being addressed to, and we mentioned him earlier in this show, that he's sort of the ultimate leader, he's a magnificent man, and I think that Locke is Jacob. And you watch this episode, and there's slowly... little bits of recognition in his eye, where when Mikhail was talking to him, you sort of see him think, "Well, that makes sense. Where do I..." This is with the thoughts of
yeah,
the
yeah,
tent.
Yeah.
"That makes sense. Where do I..." How do I know that? Oh, yeah, maybe I'm Jacob. You can kind of see... I've jumped forward a little bit there.
No, I thought it was quite good.
No, it's good. But I still want to discount the thing we talked about a while ago, which was, Ben and Locke being linked in some way, like being... Yeah. Related. I still think that'd be really awesome. If that
would be good.
Can we just play an audio clip? This features my favourite line of the episode. This is just after Locke has pushed Mikhail through the fence.
"Pardon me for not knowing that they had a sonic weapon fence. I didn't know he was going to die. How would I know that?"
"Why are you really here? You here for Jack?
Why else would I be here?
We'll talk about this later.
Pardon me for not knowing they had a sonic weapon fence." What a genius line. Fantastic. Mikhail obviously doesn't want to go back there, does he? Because he thanks Locke for pushing him into it and killing him.
I guess so. I think he knows his numbers up, as in, like, if they went back to Otherville, then he'd be, bullet in the head anyway, so...
Or they'd start playing American football.
There's got to be... we'll get to the American football in a bit. Oh, no. But there's got to be something for the others, and we'll keep calling them that, that return back to the barracks that's terrifying, because Ms. Clue demands to get shot, Mikhail begs to get killed, and then he thanks Locke when he goes... So what is it... What's going to be there?
Maybe if the barracks... If they might be holding something... Same,
when they capture Ben as well, doesn't he say that if he ever got out, that he's a dead man anyway?
Yeah, exactly. He's good as dead. So maybe it's that whole failure thing, because they seem to be very, spiritually...
He's not dead, though, is he?
Who's that? Ben.
When he goes back.
Locke is...
No, he's not. No. No, very true.
Locke is behaving very oddly in this episode. Last week, he was a little bit bumbling. I think you were right to point that out, Tom. But this week, he's... because he lies, and he makes a point of saying, I didn't know there's any explosives at the flame.
Yes.
There's some in my bag. But what's that all about?
I don't know. He's a
he's
liar.
I think he's got his own agenda. I think he's on a mission.
Why did he have that... Maybe he just likes knives and explosives, but still, I think
But that means the explosives were downstairs affixed to the wall. We didn't see any explosives anywhere else in the flame. How would he have got down... At what point was he free on his own to go downstairs to the basement?
He was left alone for quite a while. Then he wandered out, didn't he, right at the end of the episode.
Maybe he's playing this whole kind of idiot fool lock now and being a bit of a...
I just think you've got to remember that,
it's all an act.
But, way back at the beginning of the show, from when he, chatted to Walt and all the hunty thing, this guy, Locke, is always, 10 steps ahead. He really knows where he's going with something. And then the characters go, oh, blimey, we're doing this. So I think that you've got to remember that about Locke. He's a planner.
Why would he want explosives?
Mm. They're useful, though.
But they are very useful.
But he's taken one block of C4.
Yeah. They question him, are you here for Jack?
Well, that's the thing. He's not there for Jack at all. He has his own agenda totally, doesn't he?
But what is it, though?
I don't know, I'm asking you.
I don't know.
Oh, I think he's still a little bit obsessed about being hoodwinked by Benry, so well in season 2. I think that's really affected him. I think he wants to go back and he wants almost to see what the others are all about. Because you've got to remember that he's been trapped on the camp, isn't he? He was the leader for a few episodes. And
I think he's going back because he's being drawn back by some force that's making him go back. And once he gets there, and once he sits in his throne, metaphorical or literal, he will realise he is Jacob.
Oh, like some recollection.
Something is going to happen. There's going to be a moment of clarity where he's going to go, crumbs, I'm Jacob. These are my bitches.
Maybe he's been doing a few more Sweat Lodge bits, taking a few more of the wacky fruit juice and seeing some things.
Good ending, wasn't it? With Jack running.
So good.
And we go, come on, Jack, run!
Escape! No!
He catches the ball. And he's playing with Tom.
It would have to be Tom, wouldn't it?
They've become best chums.
Giant Tom.
Tom Fish Biscuit.
The one person you definitely support wouldn't be capable of playing American football is playing American football with Jack.
And he's loving it, and he's doing it, obviously, of his own free will. Paul, what the hell is going on?
Well, we've seen a lot of characters sort of play a role to fit into a situation and basically, do that double-crossing thing. Maybe Jack is doing that because, maybe he knows how well Henry Gale did it. Or maybe, even more frightening, maybe he has been completely indoctrinated into the others.
Or I'm going to ask a more direct question.
Oh, go on.
You speak to Americans who are connected with this television programme. What is Jack doing? And I want the truth.
Jack just did a touchdown.
Oh.
Wasn't it amazing?
He's good, isn't he?
Do you want to know something?
I want it. Yes, I do.
Give me some exclusive stuff.
Listeners, it's a Paul Terry Lost Magazine exclusive. Here we go.
Okay, we had the tattoo flashback episode, which I know, you guys weren't a fan of.
No,
but the from the writer's room recently, they did say there is another Jack flashback-centric episode coming up. And they've said, if this episode doesn't completely spin you out and leave you talking about it all of summer, they're not doing their jobs properly.
They're so excited
about this Jack episode that's got left to air before the season is out. They're mad about it. What happens to it?
So. Yeah, tell us.
It's brilliant.
They want to know. They want to know. People out there, they need to know.
But you know the whole bullet in the head thing? Do you want me on the show? I'll be dead.
Well, do you know what?
we'll
find someone else.
Yeah, you lasted.
Clone me.
Interesting in Claire's flashback that she's working in a tattoo parlour and we have yet to see how Jack gets another major tattoo.
I think that was a really nice touch. Just from the kids, that they're both digging
the scene,
tattoos.
Jack comes to Australia, goes and gets another tattoo.
Oh, hello. That's brilliant. Thanks. That is brilliant.
Has Tom just stumbled on something?
I'm saying that is a brilliant idea if that happens.
I think we maybe onto something.
Oh yeah, because would that make everyone talk about it all summer? Busted. Oh my god, Claire did his tattoo.
I'm just saying that.
Danielle, I'm confused by her. I think you're right, Tom, that she is potentially another. And when Kate questions her and saying, why haven't you asked about your daughter? They looked quite similar in this episode, didn't they, Kate and Danielle?
Yeah, there's a bit of a
I thought they were going to kiss. I really did. For a second, I thought, oh, they're going to kiss. That'd be a twist. But I didn't. But when Kate asks her about why she's not asked about her daughter, she says, I do not want to know the answers.
I'm really worried now, the more this Russo thing's going on. I'm loving Tom's theory about her being a really sort of like high-up, centric other person. But what if, when she gets to find Alex, this has all been a big double bluff, and what if, when she gets Alex, she's like, thank you.
And kill.
Glad to grab hold of her and not, maybe not kill her, but.
No, kill her.
But not bring her back to give
no,
her a hug.
No, kill her, and that would be good. Good.
That would be good.
Yeah. But that would be terrifying.
That would be fantastic if it's all a long con.
Like she has to find. Yeah.
The whole thing is about cons.
Oh, it is. It is.
She's playing a 16 year long con.
That's a long con.
That's a long con. Hang on. We don't know she's been there for 16 years. She could have been there when he sends off Ethan Rom and the other fella. He sent, like, Danielle.
That'll be
going
beginning of season four. That'll be Russo running along.
I love the idea. You said this the other week. I love the idea that the broadcast, the French broadcast, is nothing to do with her. In the fact that, you know, when Side goes like, oh, you know, I found you. You're the... And she probably thought, yeah, I'll run with that.
We've got a caller on the Lost line who I think wants to speak about Danielle. Hello, Mike.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Can I just give a brief recap on what we've been speaking about Danielle? We think this is... a lot of this has come from Geeky Tom, that Danielle is one of the bosses of the others and that she wants to get Alex to kill Alex.
Well, the thing that I think is that nobody seems to have picked up on is that we all talk about her as the French woman.
Mm.
She's not French.
Mm.
You listen to her talking, she's quite clearly got an Eastern European accent. And I'm no expert on accents myself. She might be Russian. She might be.
Neither are the actors that play Australians in this program either. It would appear the Australian accents are generally very poor.
It's true, but the point is that the producers have actually said they talk about Danielle being the French woman who talks with an Eastern European accent,
really?
I don't think anybody else has picked up on that.
I guess her accent is perhaps closer to Mikhail's than it is. To Sacha Distel's.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know whether she's Russian, but she's certainly not French. That's the point that's brought to my mind. Either she, they're trying to make us think, just be suspicious of her, she's not who she says she is, or there's something, a lot more sinister about
her. Before you came on the Lost Line and spoke to us, and we're glad to have you here because you're one of the good ones, speaking sense, we were just saying that maybe she's part of the long con in the scene when Ethan Rahm and the other fella are sent off when they see the plane crash and Ben says, right, Ethan, you go over there, get wet and get yourself, that maybe he sends off Danielle as well.
There's definitely more to her story. I hope we get a backstory to her this season.
Paul, have you heard anything about Danielle?
Anything to say on this, Paul?
I know that one of the fans asked Damon a question about Danielle and Alex and said, I'd really like to see, would there be a reunion between Danielle and Alex soon? Because I'd really like to see that. And then he says something like, when you get excited, I get excited about that too, sort of dot, dot, dot. And it was kind of an insinuation there would be something coming up soon. I don't know whether it'd be the end of this season or maybe the beginning of season four, but there is a sense it is coming up.
Can you ask Damon to come on here? Can you get him on the Lost Line? Give him the private direct number to the Lost Line so that he can call it any time he wants.
We could give it a whirl.
Yeah. Have a word with
him. We
could
give it a whirl.
I want to speak to this fool and find out what the hell is going
dangerous,
on.
Dangerous, dangerous.
Michael, anything else?
You did do an impression of him, didn't you?
I can't think of anything else off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
Enjoying listening to you guys. Thanks
good lad. Thank you, Mike. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. There we go. He was nice, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was good.
We like him because he was talking sense. We don't like him because I didn't get to have a go at him. I've got an email from LostLarker08. In your podcast for Stranger in a Strange Land, you mentioned that you think Jack being cooped up in a cage causes madness, which is the sickness. Well, the official truth is that there is no sickness.
Official? Based on who?
Do you want to know where this official truth comes from?
Oh,
go on.
This is from the official Lost Jigsaw Puzzle.
Oh.
Available in the US. It contains a spoiler warning on the side of the box and has a code on the back, which you have to decipher. When all the codes are put together, they produce various messages, including, there is no sickness and quarantine is a hoax.
Right.
Thanks, I hope this was useful. P.S. Geeky Tom is the bomb.
Really?
I don't know if that's good in young people's
speak.
What's
the bomb? That can't be a good thing.
What do you make of that? Is there an official Lost Jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah, there is. But
it's not the board game, is it?
No. It's just a jigsaw puzzle.
How
but
can
I didn't...
they put an integral plot like part in a jigsaw puzzle for people to buy? And I think that's a bit weird.
Yeah, but maybe it's a double bluff.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
It would be unusual for the makers of a jigsaw puzzle to be involved in. When are we going to have a night playing the Lost Board game?
Yeah, we need to do that.
I've still got in cellophane. I can't play it because the person I play it with is still only watching series
one.
Yeah,
no, we should do that.
Are you up for that, Tom? Or?
Is it part of the plot? Probably is, knowing Lost in the franchise.
Yeah, exactly, it might have the answer.
yeah, I'll be
up for
that.
Did you fancy up
for it? Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be Echo. Thanks, Echo.
Okay. Well, let's you come at my flat. Give you a finger buffing. Anyway, sorry, going off on a tangent. Thank you for that, Lost Larker 08. If you want to send us an email with your theories or come on the Lost line, send us an email with your details to lost@sky1.co.uk. That's lost@sky1.co.uk. Now, Charlie and Desmond. Who is it? Oh, I love Desmond.
He's brilliant.
I want Desmond and Locke to go off and have like their own spin-off show where they solve crimes, but Locke is back in a wheelchair and Desmond still has psychic powers. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
DNL. Be some kind of, yeah, cross between like Ironside and...
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Quantum Leap.
It'd be absolutely brilliant. Now, Desmond, again, I don't know why he's doing it. He prevents Charlie's death and he confesses to Claire, or tells Claire, about his visions. And she seems to buy it straight away.
Yeah. Interesting, what you said earlier about, you know, her having visions.
Yeah.
Maybe she's harbouring something.
But you'd think, though, Tom, it's like in time travel films, when the guy falls in love with the girl from, like, the olden days, and he says, "Got something to tell you. I'm from the future." Oh, wow, what's it like? And she believes it straight away. There's no point. She goes, "Oh, don't be talk silly."
We don't really see a reaction to it. We see it kind of cuts, and then it goes back to her when...
I think, in fairness, though, I mean, he's done enough things to prove that there's something weird going on. Because, you know, he's saving from the lightning bolt, and then... The when she was drowning. So yeah. I think that in her mind, she's thinking, wait a minute, there could be some truth to that.
The migrating birds thing. I don't know, it was sort of a silly little... That bird is going to turn up somewhere on the island at some point.
Hopefully dead. Note.
we were hoping it would fly through.
Wouldn't it be brilliant?
Get scanned.
If Locke wanders back to the beach camp and he's skewered it and he's marinated it and gone, yeah, grabs up.
But if those birds had genuinely migrated, it could disprove the dome theory that they're all in a dome.
Oh, that's the point.
But there's no evidence that bird is not from another part of the island. I think that at some point in a few episodes' time, we're going to see an aviary in there.
Actually, that would be brilliant. And they've just been let out for exercise.
Yeah, with exactly the same tags on there or something.
That would be brilliant.
Or Ben will be reading a note and going,
yeah. Yeah.
Now, we have got a transcript of what the producers and the writer Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse said about Desmond's experience. We were talking about this on the last show that we did.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
There was some debate over whether they had actually confirmed that Desmond had time-travelled.
Yeah.
Which is the important bit in there that you say proves that they're confirming that Desmond has travelled through time.
Okay, well, I would say a couple of lines from Damon. There's a bit of kind of chit-chat, and then Damon says... the two lines I'd pick out, Damon says... "You know, one of the things that we try very rarely to do on the show is to play something as only having been imagined or dreamed."
Right. So he's saying it wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
"And, you know, I would say in a global sense of things that Desmond, back in the year 1996, had that experience." That's the first kind of little teaser bit. But then later on he says...
I'll stop you on that bit while you're scanning through. What you said there doesn't prove that he travelled through time. What it proves is it wasn't a dream and that Desmond... 11 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, had a funny turn.
That's fair dues.
Would you agree with that, Tom?
No, yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Where's the bit that proves they're confirming time travel?
Where does it say it is time travel? It's all about time travel, which you've been banging on about for the last few years.
Let's not put paragraphs in my throat.
The point where you and I had our first proper row last week.
That's brilliant.
An actual row.
I'm trying to find it now.
Yeah, I bet you are.
No,
mate. It ain't there. It ain't
just
there.
Pause for a sec. There we go. It's on the first line, sorry.
This proves that they are confirming that Desmond travelled through time. What are you about to say?
I'll preface it with this.
Is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Let's go.
If any Lost fan hearing the previous statement and the following one and doesn't think that there's a complete declaration that he went back to the past, whether it be a consciousness time travel, which Tom talked about, or whatever.
Okay.
So Damon Lindelof says... "But I think what's interesting is that there are certain things that happened the way they used to happen that he changed as a result of being in the past. That might sort of resonate over time, like getting hit in the face instead of the bartender, or the fact that the photograph of he and Penny got taken the day he broke up with her. Maybe in another incarnation, maybe there were two photographs. That would explain how she got one."
That does not say to me...
It doesn't say the phrase time travel.
It hints at the possibility of parallel universes.
But we're talking... Okay, so Tom, you take that. So I will say, there we go.
He's
that is,
trying his
that's
best
the line.
Not to go either way and you to derive any kind of information out of that statement. That's what that says to me.
Okay, so that's all I can offer you. I can't offer you more than that.
I want my money back.
If I ran with that...
I want my ticket money back.
I think you're reading too much into that.
You're reading too much into that.
No,
you're reading something that isn't... isn't there. They're saying very, very little. They do not... What they're saying is, yes, it wasn't a dream. Fantastic, that's good. I wouldn't have expected them to make it a dream. They are not saying he went back in time.
A result of being in the past.
That's not him saying that he went back in time.
Look, the guys, the two,
I wouldn't
want
to. I wouldn't want to be making bold statements based on a press release.
Press release? It's not a press release. I don't think that's a bold statement to say the two things which he qualifies there are, back in 1996 he had the experience, and when he was back in that time, things will resonate over time.
We're having this argument four episodes after it happened, and I think we're going to have it for a lot longer.
It's good we're debating it.
It is good fun, but you're wrong. Listen, that's the end of it. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Tom, can you sum up the episode in one word?
Ooh.
Okay. And Paul, can you sum up this episode in one word?
Sonic.
Lovely. Episode 13 is on Sunday at 10 p.m. on Sky 1. It's repeated Wednesday at 10 p.m. and Sky 2 Friday 9 p.m. You can visit the Lost website, which is also part of the Sky website. Excellent stuff. Clips of interviews and forums and stuff like that. It's at sky1.co.uk/lost. We'll be back again next week to take a look at Episode 13, The Man from Tallahassee. I'm Ian Lee, and until then, namaste. In it.
The Lost Initiative is a co-inc production for Sky One.